Growth Ministries and the Valley Church of Cupertino, California presents an informal chat with Pastor and Mrs. Paul E. Steele as they addressed the congregation and shared what God was doing in their lives.
Well, we're going to try something different tonight, and we've never done this before, and we're probably a little nervous because we are doing something new, but we talked, remember, 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning about knowing the will of God for your life and the importance of knowing what God wants you to do. And we spoke about that in general terms. And we have just had to make a very important, specific decision concerning the will of God for our lives. And during this period of time, we began to think that perhaps as God leads, that he would then give us an opportunity to share with our friends here a little bit of how he led, just some specific things, and let you kind of think through with us that whole process so that it can be helpful to you as well.
I've had a number of ladies in particular ask me if we could really know for sure that we were not making the wrong mistake, if we could really know, and how we could really know God's will for our lives. And so this is a really important question in many Christian people's lives.
And we have the same difficulties everybody else has. It's not always an easy thing to make a decision like that.
Yes, we sure do. But I think there are some basic principles that we need to keep in mind in knowing God's will for our lives.
That's certain. For example, in John 7:17, it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or not. In other words, in the matter of discernment, whether it's of doctrine or circumstances or specific decisions you have to make, the first step really is to be right with God and to be willing to do whatever God wants us to do, no matter what that is.
Are we being honest tonight?
Yeah,
we won't
sure
get kicked out?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I have to be honest. I was not willing. And the Lord had to really deal with my heart. It's so easy for all of us to get very attached to material things. And so the Lord said, Gloria, are you willing to go? Why aren't you willing to go? And so he dealt with me on a number of questions. He said, are you attached to Valley Church buildings? And I said, no, I'm certainly not. Are you attached to your home? And I had to say, no, I really am not attached to my home, to California. And I said, no, I sure like it in California, but no, I'm really not attached to California. To your friends, and I thought, oh, I really would miss some of my friends very much. But I knew that God would replace these things. He's always done it in the past. And I knew he would replace my friends who I'd miss very much and all of these things if I was willing to give up everything and be willing to go.
Sort of like laying your Isaac on the altar over and over again. Of course, that's what we have to do in our everyday walk. And I think that it's important for us to just remember that God deals with us, first of all, making us willing to go, and then make us willing to stay. And that just kind of plays back and forth. I think one of my favorite quotes is from George Mueller, where he says, no person is certain that he's in the will of God till he comes to the place where he has no will of his own. And we both had to come to that place. We both had our discouraging days too, didn't we?
Oh boy, we sure did. I remember one day when I was at the bottom. I was really discouraged. And in my time with the Lord, I just said, Lord, please give us some opportunities to leave this place. I thought I knew God's will for our lives. No, I wanted my own way. And so I just really prayed that God would do this. Well, he answered my prayer, but he also dealt with me about a week later. I was preparing to teach my class on Thursday morning, and he just seemed to say, how can you go and teach those ladies to obey God when you are being disobedient to me and not really wanting to go? And so I said, oh, Father, I realize I've sinned, and I realize I am disobedient, and I will go or stay. I will do whatever you want me to.
And here you prayed that God would get us out of here.
Yeah.
And then then you said, okay, God, I'm willing to stay. And then that very day, we got a phone call. And we'd heard about this opportunity in December. Somebody had contacted us, but the first serious contact was the same day that you got that squared around. And then you had to fight the battle of being willing to leave here after the Lord had made you willing to stay. And that's just the way the Lord deals. And
right.
The fact is, He wants our obedience, doesn't He?
That's right. He wants us to be willing to do what He wants.
So the first principle is just simply to come to that place of surrender to the Lord, where you know your heart is right with the Lord. I don't think if your heart's not right with the Lord, I don't think you can ever know for certain that what He wants you to do. But then after that, to just come to that place of willingness and say, Lord, I'll obey. You tell me where to go, and I'm willing to go. I'm under marching orders.
I think that prayer is really the second principle that we need to keep in mind. And we talk to God in prayer, and we persevere in prayer. And we sure did a lot of that. And we confess our inadequacies, and we should be praying like Christ prayed, not my will, but thine be done.
Right, and as you pray, you begin to really commune with God. And the important thing, really, in finding guidance is not so much where you're going or what you're doing in geographical location. It's really important that you commune with God, that you touch His heart, so that you're sensitive to the way He's leading you. I think a third thing that's involved is that God very definitely speaks to us through His Word.
He sure does. I'm reminded of Psalm 119, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
And His Word sure did speak to us, didn't it?
It sure did. A continuance in the Word, though,
yeah.
I think it's very important.
And an obedience to the
Word.
Yes,
very definitely.
We have to obey the things that we know His Word says, and then the vague things begin to fall in place.
I think a fourth thing that it's important is trusting the Lord, but trusting the Lord patiently.
Now, that's not very easy for me.
No, it is not.
No, I'm not very patient.
No, that's not one of your virtues.
I was raised with an understanding that I should obey God. And I think that probably because of my parents' commitment on that level, maybe it's a little easier for me to do sometimes what God wants me to do when I know what it is. But when the Lord is holding out on me and not telling me what it is, this waiting business, that's not my long suit.
Well, I don't think anybody likes to. I remember some days I would just say, Lord, I've got to know today, or this by the end of this week. And He would just say, Gloria, one step at a time, one day at a time. You just be patient. Trust me. I'll let you know when it's time.
Proverbs 3:5-6 talks about that, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That, of course, is the first thing. And then don't lean to your own understanding. Whenever you're seeking guidance, it's awful easy to just go away on a whim or just do something because it's an impulse. So first of all, trust the Lord with all your heart. Then don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, know Him. And then what happens? He will direct your paths. That's the important thing.
How do you think circumstances fit into knowing God's will?
Well, there's no question that circumstances are part of it. But we have to be careful because circumstances aren't absolute. We would always take the path of least resistance, the easiest course, if we went on the basis of just circumstances. But I think it's important when you're seeking the mind of God to write down on a piece of paper all of the reasons why, in our case, why we would want to stay at Valley Church, and some of the reasons why we would want to leave, and then put down all the reasons why we would want to accept a call to another place, as much as we know about it, and then all the reasons why, the negatives, why we shouldn't. Put those all down, even, you know, very practical things, like, you know, the rain in Oregon.
Yes, I did think about that. I thought, oh, soggy, rainy picnics again, but I said, no, Lord, I'm willing to live in the rain again. But even though I do love the sunny weather in California, I was willing to live in the rain.
But we weighed out all of that circumstance. It was fascinating because in this case, it was really kind of a toss-up. We loved the people here. We wanted to continue to serve them. There were just a lot of pluses in terms of that. And yet up there, there seemed to be a fine group of hungry-hearted people. The people we had contact with were very responsive. A lot of people had been listening to tapes and things like that. And when we put all these things down, we had to say, well, you know, it could go either way. We don't have a particular choice in mind. And so the circumstances in this case were not too critical because they kind of weighed out evenly.
There's another thing very important, and you call it the umpire.
Yeah, the umpire. Well, when you come finally to a decision, the umpire is the peace of God. When finally the decision is made, there's a sense that God gives you an inner quietness and peace, and not a restlessness at all, but just a quiet peace that He is going to direct and lead, and that He has directed, and that He's closed one door and opened another.
Colossians 3:15 says it, doesn't it? And let the peace of God rule or umpire in your hearts.
Yeah, that's the verse. And when a decision is reached, there has to be then that deep, settled peace.
But before that peace, oftentimes there's a great deal of confusion, and boy, we've faced that.
Oh, you bet. It seems like every day there'd be something that would happen, maybe negative, and either here or there, and then the next day something positive, and back and forth and back and forth. It kind of plays yo-yo with your emotions. We felt sometimes like we were walking down a long dark tunnel, and we knew if we just kept walking, eventually we were going to come out and everything was going to be clear. But it was during that time that people come up and say, "Have you made a decision yet? Have you made a decision yet?" "No, we're still in the dark." "Well, I mean, how's God leading you?" "Well, God's not leading us anyway. We're in this long dark tunnel." And it was a lot of confusion before finally the Lord made it very clear what we ought to do.
I think a lot of people, when they're seeking God's will, when they go through this time of confusion, maybe just give up and say, "Oh, well, I'm going to do it my way anyway."
So they sit down in the tunnel.
That's right. Instead of persevering and trusting patiently God to make it very clear.
You've got to keep walking or you're there forever.
That's right. I think maybe our friends here would like to know, or you should share, how all of this began in our lives.
Well, we, of course, had some very traumatic things happen in our lives. We, of course, last year I was very sick. And during that time of sickness, probably the thing that distressed me more than ever, and I think I talked about this more than any other thing, I think you would verify that, honey, but I felt as though I was letting the people down at Valley Church by being sick. I'd always been energetic, and I'd always done my job, and I'd worked hard, and here I was, you know, not doing anything. And I began to think, well, maybe I just wore out the old chassis and maybe I don't have anything left. And for me to go back to that church and be half a person and not have the energy and be able to do the things that the people are accustomed to really isn't fair to the people. And we'd drive through some of those sleepy little towns in Oregon and go ho-hum and look at how slow motion everybody was moving. And we thought, oh, wouldn't it be great to pastor a church? We went to a church in Grants Pass one Sunday, and the guy, all he talked about was fishing. He fishes three times a week. He's the pastor of the church. And I thought, you know, that might not be a bad life for an old man that's worn out,
oh,
you know.
Real
I was
old.
Just so sick that I couldn't see ever coming back and facing the kind of challenge and opportunities that we have here. And so we began talking about, well, maybe God wants to move us. We came to the conclusion toward the end of summer when I began to feel better, no, that God wanted us here. So many people were encouraging with their letters and so on, and we thought, no, God wants us here. And we came back, and when we came back, we hit some very discouraging circumstances.
You mean you, Paul Steele, get discouraged?
No, not me. You
go. Oh, I'm surprised. Hey, that's a nut spiritual.
People have seen me get discouraged.
Is it spiritual to be discouraged?
Once in a while.
Oh, come on. You mean you're human? You mean you're human?
That's right.
You cry too?
I have to admit it.
You cry too?
Yeah, that cry too.
Oh, good.
Shed a lot of tears.
Yeah, right.
You can be
sure did.
I think, you know, the scripture talks about David's times of very deep discouragement and Elijah's time and so on. And I think we experience that. We don't live in discouragement a lot, but I think all the time we have times that are very low for us. We usually get to the Lord and they're gone. Sometimes it lingers on. Some of the people here have seen us when we've been very, very, very down. But I got discouraged. First of all, God encouraged us. His word encouraged us. And then the people here were just tremendous. I can't remember a time where I have felt such love from people as we felt during the time that we were going through some of these discouraging circumstances. And there were so many people that were writing to us and telling us, giving us good rationale why we shouldn't leave, and trying to help us, and people offering to do anything they could to help us. And all of those things were good things. But at the end of February was when we received the first phone call, and then I told them we weren't interested. But I told them that if God is in it and they want to pursue it, then that's up to them. And they pursued. And we had part of the pastor seeking committee down here, and they met with us on Sunday and worshiped with us here. And we spent quite a bit of time talking on the phone with them, and they encouraging us to consider their ministry there, and a lot of interviewing and this kind of thing that went on. There was a while there, I admit, when I was discouraged. And I would have gone in a minute. I was almost ready to jump at a chance. But the love of the people here held me steady during that time. I just hope I can be a blessing to them in the same way, and when they're going through rough times, be a steadying influence in their life, because they certainly were an influence in my life. And God had to bring us again to the place where we were willing just to do what He wanted us to do.
He had to really do a work in both of our hearts, didn't He, to make us willing to do what He wanted us to do and not what we wanted to
Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, we were ready to go, and God had to say, no, you got to be willing to stay. And then Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we were ready to stay, and God said, no, you got to be willing to go. It was lots of fun, really. But struggling with this really deepened our prayer life, our love for each other, our love for our people here, and deepened our time in the Word of God as well.
Yes, it really did. My relationship with the Lord has just grown so much through this. I just was asking the Lord one day, Lord, please give me a verse, confirmation from your word specifically. I want it in black and white right there in the Bible where I'm studying what we are to do. And so I was studying in my everyday study. I'd been studying in 1 Kings. And I came to the passage in chapter 19 about Elijah, and he was really discouraged. And there was an earthquake and a fire and the wind, but the Lord wasn't in it. And then there was a gentle blowing. And Elijah listened, and the Lord said, return to Damascus. And I think so oftentimes the Lord doesn't have to, and He doesn't use spectacular things. He uses simple things to guide us. So many times I think we're looking for spectacular things.
The fire and the earthquake.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have had a neon light flash and say, go to
Oregon. Well,
that'd
make it easy, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Stay at Valley. Yes, it would make it easy, but God doesn't do it. And that day, He just seemed to say, Gloria, it's not going to be spectacular. Just trust me. Walk quietly and peacefully and patient with me every day, and I'll show you my will.
I think, honey, that God allows these difficult struggles in trying to seek His will for the express purpose of building into our lives. I think God is so often just interested in what He's going to do inside of us in building our lives, rather than just give. He obviously could give the neon sign if He wanted to. I was studying at the time in the book of Isaiah, and God did a very interesting thing to me, because there wasn't anything in the way of specific guidance. I mean, I was looking for Isaiah to say, thou shalt stay in California, or thou shalt move to the rain in Oregon, you know. I was looking for something like, I wasn't really, but I mean, you know, you would love to have the Lord just have a verse jump off the page and give you absolute clear direction. And God didn't do that, but He gave me during that time what I guess I needed most, a lot of encouragement, a confirmation of my own call, a confirmation that just be patient, and I needed that. He's going to lead, He's going to make the way clear. Just some of the phrases that I jotted down here are things like this. You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and my word will not return unto me void. Trust in my name and rely on God, and you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. I will guide you guide you to the springs of water. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. My purpose shall be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. Surely the Lord is with you, and there is none else, no other God. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob in Israel and shows forth His glory, confirming the word of His servant and performing the purpose of His messengers. Over in Isaiah chapter 54, there was just one verse that just jumped off the page. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I've got May 2nd written here in the margin of my Bible. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Over in the 57th chapter, it says, And it shall be build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place and also with the crushed and lowly of spirit in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. Over in the 58th chapter, the command is to declare to my people their transgressions and to the house of Jacob their sins. And then these verses, your recovery will speedily spring forth and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard if you remove the yoke from your midst, and the Lord will continually guide you. And those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called a repairer of the breach and a restorer of the streets in which to dwell. And you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you to ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. I didn't know what God had in store for us, but it sounded like victory to me.
It sure did. God's word was a real comfort to me, and he gave me peace that he was going to keep us here, maybe not for a lifetime, but...
It's never for life.
No, it's one day at a time, isn't it? But yeah. Right now, he wanted us to stay here.
Well, God gave me that peace as I was going along as well. I was sharing with my discipleship class sort of the progress of what God was doing in my life. And as I shared with them, I just shared that I just seemed to have this peace that God is going to keep us here at Valley Church. And several times I sat down actually to write a letter to the people in Oregon saying, look, it's been wonderful, but let's just forget this thing. Let's just close the door right now.
Sweetheart, I'm sure glad you didn't do that, because then you would have been shutting the door and not
right.
God.
And I never would have been sure whether it was God shutting the door or whether it was me.
I think so oftentimes we do that. We shut the door and don't let
God shut
the door open.
God made it very clear. One of the things that concerned me about Oregon in the conversations we had with the Pastor Seeking Committee, they mentioned very clearly, they asked me, I had made some comments on an interview tape that I had sent to them about what Scripture says about a few things. And one of the things was the conviction that I have that one who doesn't meet the qualifications of Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3 and 1 Peter 5, that person shouldn't serve as an elder. And they, by their own admission, had not considered some of those qualifications in the choosing of their elders. And there were people that were on the board of elders who were obviously not biblically qualified. And I'll never forget, as we were talking about it, they said, well, most of the people in the congregation want to see that changed because they'd been called to their attention a number of times. And then they called me on the phone, and I'd been praying, Lord, wouldn't you this week give me some clear direction? And they called on the phone and they said that the elders had met and they had decided that they weren't going to do anything about meeting those qualifications. And if I wanted to continue to be a candidate, I would just have to live with that. In other words, they were asking me to compromise. And one of the things that you don't want to do is to compromise God's word. And so I told them, I said, well, then that seems to me to be a very clear mandate from the Lord that they don't want to have in that church the scriptural qualifications for elders. And if they don't, then that's fine. That's up to you, but it's not a church where I can minister. And they said, we were afraid you'd say that, but wouldn't you change your mind? And I said, no, that's a conviction with me, and opinions I'll give in on, I'll compromise. Mm-hmm. But convictions, never, no. I'll die for them. And I said, so I would come, I would just cause trouble. And so you'd be better off without me, because I'm not going to stand for that, because it doesn't meet God's standard.
And when we knew that,
then we had
knew
peace
that
in our heart.
God had closed
absolutely.
The door, and we had total peace. I can't describe.
No. It's a peace of God that passes all understanding. You could never explain it. And in the process of that, there was not only peace, but there was a joy. because we love our people here. We love them so much, and we don't know how to sometimes to express that, but we're so happy that God has, in a sense, given us a new sheet of paper to begin writing on as far as our life is concerned in our ministry here, but at the same time gave us, didn't he, the, as we delighted in him, gave us the desire of our heart, which really down deep was to just stay here and continue to minister to these precious people.
That's right. Can I give these people a challenge?
Sure.
You'll let me?
Yeah. Just Good. Don't preach.
Oh, okay. This is not a sermon. No, I'm really concerned about Christian people really knowing God's will in every area of their lives. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at these teenagers, and a lot of you are graduating in a couple weeks. May I really challenge you to seek God's will in the college that you go to, not your choice, not what you want, but God, what God wants. College people that are seeking a new job, seek and know God's will for your job. How about the mate you're going to marry? Seek and know God's will for your life. I know there's several young couples who are considering the mission field. Seek and know God's will, not what you want, not what you desire, but what God wants for your life. I think so many times Christians think that God's hiding his will.
No.
And you know, aha, you might find it.
Hide and go seek.
Yeah, hide and go seek. Aha, you might find my will if you're lucky, you know, or look hard. But it's a persevering, a drawing close to the Lord, persevering.
And God wants us to have his will worse than we want it, really.
That's right.
And if we're just willing, he's going to make it very, very plain, as he did in our case. I was thinking the other day of the scripture that God used at the time that he called us here. And one of the texts, and I put this on a tape and sent it to the people here at Valley Church, and a number of people listened to it. But it was that passage in the third chapter, 2 Kings, one of the miracles of Elisha. And Jehoshaphat was out on the battlefield, ready to go to battle, but his men were fainting from thirst. They didn't have water. They didn't have enough provision. And Elisha came on the scene, and through Elisha, God gave to Jehoshaphat a word from the Lord. And he said, make this valley full of ditches. And so I took that to mean that God wanted us to go and dig some ditches at Valley Church. It was interesting that it mentioned the valley, and now I realize it's more than Valley Church. It's this whole valley that we've developed a burden for. But just dig the ditches. And then he said, this valley shall be full of water. And the next morning, there was no sound of rain. There was no sound of wind. There wasn't any sign of a storm. The next morning, they woke up, and here the valley was filled with water. They had more than enough water, and not only that, but God enabled them to go out and win the battle. And that was such a blessing to me, because it was a word of assurance from the Lord that he was going to bless in our ministry. And I sent that tape, and Sandy Morton, I'll never forget, a lot of you don't know Sandy, but Sandy is sort of an irrepressible human being, and he wrote me a letter, and he says, I'm flying at 30,000 feet on my way to Washington, D.C., and then he started in. And what he shared with me was that soon after the former pastor left the church, Norman Grubb was here. And when Norman Grubb was here, he took his text from the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and he talked about how the water came up to the ankles, and how the water came up to the knees, and how the water came up to the hips, and up to the shoulders, and over their head, until they were having to swim in the water. And he said, this is a picture of the blessing of God. And he said, God is going to fill, like in the time of Jehoshaphat, God is going to fill this valley with blessing. And he said, this valley church is going to be filled. Dig your ditches, because this valley church is going to be blessed. And here, Norman Grubb, who I've met, but he doesn't know me and certainly didn't know how the Lord was leading me, had used that text to assure these people that God was going to bless, then used the same text at a time that he led us here. And now we can keep digging ditches, because I don't think the valley's full yet of the blessing of the Lord. I think there's more blessing to come. And I think that's what God wants to do during these intervening years that perhaps God will give us here. I remember that the poem that God gave me at that time. Some of you have heard it, but let me just read it for you again. He does not lead me, year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans, I do not know. I only know this minute, but he will say, this is the way. By faith, now walk ye in it. And I am glad that it is so. Today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, his grace will far exceed its care. What need to worry then or fret? The God who gave his son holds all my moments in his hand and gives them one by one.
That's so good. I was just thinking, you know, our purpose tonight was not to focus on us. We've been talking about our struggles and our victories, but I was just thinking our purpose is not to focus on ourselves, because we certainly are nothing. God is everything. But to share with our friends again how God is faithful, was faithful, God's sovereign, loving, and we just give him the glory for what he's done in us through what he's just brought us through. And to share with them how we have really sought and found God's will for our lives. You know, I need to have everything in a neat package. Most women do. And so I'd like to have us go through those six things again that we need to have in place to know the will of God.
First of all, it's a matter of being right with God with a willingness to do whatever he wants us to do. Mm-hmm. Secondly, that we learn to pray persistently. Just really keep our hearts right in touch with God. Thirdly, that we trust patiently.
Patiently.
Even me?
Yes.
Yeah. And fourthly, that we dwell deeply in God's word and consistently and obey it. Living out the things that we already know are the will of God. Fifth, you want to weigh the pros and cons of the circumstance. Have that all laid out for you. And then ultimately, what God seems to do many times, you come to a place where the deadline's upon you. You've got to make a decision. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm convinced that when we have all of those other things in line and we're ready and willing to do whatever God wants, then we begin to walk through doors. And if God closes the door, thank you, Lord, and we try another door, and we make a decision. And after we've made that decision, then we have the umpire. Because when we start to step out and something's wrong, we don't know what, but something's wrong, we don't have the umpire saying, that's safe. We have the umpire saying, you're out. And so we listen to the umpire. We listen to that peace. Because when the peace of God reigns in our heart and we have that deep, settled peace that we're in the center of his will, with that heart that is yielded to him, then we know that we're doing what we should be doing. I think it's been fun doing this with you, honey.
We made it.
I think the
I don't
people,
know, maybe they're all asleep out there.
We've let a little chunk of our life be shown tonight.
Maybe we'll get kicked out.
We don't sit on the platform to do it, but we do this a lot at home, don't we? And trying mm-hmm. to struggle through some of our own personal mm-hmm. struggles. And maybe it'd be good to try this on some other things and kind of let people see us in a different light from time to time. Maybe we'll do it again if people thought this was any good tonight. But we sure enjoyed doing it. We went a couple minutes longer than we expected to.
It was you, not me.
I know that. Always is. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are gathered here tonight with a group of people, the majority of which really just want your will, no matter what it is. They really do want that. And it's hard, Lord, sometimes for people to know that. It's hard for us when it comes to some of these specific things. But Lord, as we've shared this, we probably have duplicated what a lot of these people have done to have your guidance, your direction. And so we thank you for that. And we would pray right now that that you would just help all of us to be doing your will from the heart and to stand mature and complete in all the will of God. Because, Lord, we don't want to be wasting time doing things that are not your will. And so grant to us a very, very special opportunity tomorrow and the next day and on into days and weeks to come, just to take every moment and to be certain in that moment that what we're doing is what you at the moment want us to do. And we know that you'll lead us step by step along our way. Thank you so much for your goodness and for the patience of the people in letting us do this tonight. And Lord, use it in all of our lives. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Doyle Souders to come up here and tell us what we're supposed to do. He's the boss. I don't know anything about this, except I do know where we're going. But we want to encourage all of you to just come. And where? And when?
We're going over to Straw Hat Pizza over on Stevens Creek in Cupertino. We've called them and told them that put on some extra staff, that we're going to come in with about 100, 150 people or whatever will get in the door. So, and I know some of you already ordered pizzas in advance and everything, so there shouldn't be a long line. So don't be afraid to come just because there's a lot of people here. But let's go do it.
Why don't you lead us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this night, just for the openness of Paul and Gloria, and just the way that we can apply this to our own lives in seeking your will. We just thank you for this time of fellowship tonight and just ask your blessing upon it. In Christ's precious name, amen.
Amen.